This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be in the house of God together, and it is my joy to welcome you to West End United Methodist Church on this Sunday morning. I'm especially glad to welcome you if you're visiting with us. We hope that you feel welcome and that you feel the Spirit of Christ moving in this place. If you are visiting with us and would like to learn a little bit more about our congregation, I would invite you to, after the service, to go to Reed Hall, which is just outside this doorway. There will be a welcome center there and friends to answer any questions you might have. I would also invite you to come downstairs to McWhorter Hall, just below the sanctuary, for our West End 101 Sunday School class. This is the second of 4 weeks, and it's geared for visitors, and we hope that you'll join us downstairs for that. I'd like to welcome especially this morning our friends from Belmont United Methodist Church. We have combined our children's choirs this morning for worship, and so they're singing here as part of our worship service at 8:45, and then they'll be leaving shortly after the sermon, not as a reflection of the sermon, but in order to get to Belmont in time for their late service. So we're praising God together as the two congregations. You're in for a treat this morning. Also in Reed Hall, there will be an opportunity to buy tickets for our pancake supper, which is February 13th, Tuesday night, right before Ash Wednesday and the season of Lent begin. We have a great tradition of pancake supper and jazz mass here on that Tuesday night. So we hope you'll purchase tickets and be part of that great event. If you are a college student, we would love for you to gather for lunch this morning, and means you'll have to come back, but that group gathers at noon in Reed Hall after the late service, a wonderful time of fellowship and getting to know one another. That's it as far as our announcement go this morning. I would encourage you to take a look at the announcements in your bulletin as well. We gather this morning with those worshipers in the synagogue. On that day when Jesus began his public ministry, we see what happens, and we see the power and authority of Jesus, not only then, but now in our lives as well. So let us open ourselves to this time of worship, to the power of Christ as we gather together.
As we come to worship this day, let us bring all of our joys and sorrows. As we come to worship this day, we believe in God's power through Jesus Christ. As we come to worship this day, we feel the presence of God. Let us now confess our sins to the one who searches us and knows us. Let us pray. We know who you are, O Christ. You are the one who silences demons and casts out evil spirits. You are the one who creates new life out of utter chaos. We know who you are, O Christ. Forgive us, we pray, when we act otherwise. It is in your name that we pray. Amen. God offers redemption to all people, making new life possible for everyone. Believe in the gospel this day and be healed. Please join us as we live out our affirmation and faith that indeed we are not alone in this world, and share the peace of Christ with one another as we greet our neighbors. As a forgiven and reconciled people, let us exchange signs of reconciliation and love. The peace of Christ be with you. Of the church is the baptism of children. This morning, Robert and Kelsey Finger bring their son, Nelson James Finger, to God before the community of faith for baptism.
My brothers and sisters in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty acts of salvation and given new birth through water and the Spirit. And all this is God's gift, offered to us without price. Kelsey and Robert, I ask you on behalf of the whole church, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness, reject the evil powers of this world, and repent of your sin? Do you accept the freedom and power God gives you to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? Do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church, which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? And will you nurture this child in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching and example, he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself one day, to profess his faith openly, and to lead a Christian life? My brothers and sisters, do you, as Christ's body, the church, reaffirm both your rejection of sin and your commitment to Christ? If so, will you say, we do?
We do.
And will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include him now before you in your care? With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround him with the community of love and forgiveness, that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him, that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water. After the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus, nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and this child who receives it, to wash away his sin and clothe him in righteousness throughout his life, that dying and being raised with Christ, he may share in his final victory. All praise to you, eternal God, through your Son, Jesus Christ, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives and reigns forever. Amen.
What name have you given this beautiful child?
Bold.
That's right. Nelson James, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now I'm going to ask your parents, and Pastor Brandon, all of us to place a hand on you. We're going to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Nelson James, may the Holy Spirit work within you, that being born through water and the Spirit, you may be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Nelson, we're going to go for a little walk and meet some of your church family.
Hot.
That is hot. It is a candle. It's the light of Christ. That's candle. That's right. It's the light of Christ that is inside you and is inside everyone. And everyone in this congregation is about to make a promise to you to help you know that light within you, to help teach you the songs of the faith and the ways of the faith. We all have a part in raising Nelson in the faith. So I invite you to stand as you're able, and let's join together in making our promises.
Members of the household of God, I commend Nelson James to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. We give thanks for all that God has already given you, Nelson James, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant to participate faithfully in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
Let us pray together the prayer for illumination. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. A lesson from the Gospel according to Mark. They went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astounded at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Just then there was in the synagogue a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." And the unclean spirit, throwing him into convulsions and crying with a loud voice, came out of him. They were all amazed, and they kept on asking one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." At once his fame began to spread throughout the surrounding region of Galilee. The word of God for the people of God.
Good to see all of you here this morning, and thank you for singing. Those of you who sang, it was just beautiful and helped me to worship God this morning. I bet you recognize these, don't you? How many of you have ever had to put on a Band-Aid? Yep, me too. I would imagine that some of you may have even broken a bone or hurt your knee or gotten injured in some way or another. Yeah, I had a broken arm when I was in third grade. It didn't feel very good, but it got better. We just heard a story about a time when Jesus went to the synagogue, which was sort of like church. And in the synagogue, there was a man who was really sick. He was not well at all. And Jesus healed him. And we're going to be hearing all sorts of stories in church about different kinds of people that Jesus healed. And it's important for us to remember that Jesus healed people. He cared about our bodies and our minds all being well. So next time you're sick and you go to the doctor, say thank you to the doctor for working with God to help people get healed. Say thank you to all those nurses and all the people who work to help our bodies and our minds heal, because they're doing God's work too. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much that you want us to be well, that you work through doctors and nurses and therapists and all sorts of people to bring about healing and to help all of us be better. Help us to be those who are also kind and helping others who are hurting, that we might know your love and your healing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. And for those of you going to Belmont a little later, thank you for sharing your voices. As the children are making their way back to their seats, I'll have to admit this was a little challenging this week to think of a children's message, because this story is a little disturbing and even a little scary, because there is a man in the synagogue on that day who is possessed by an unclean spirit. It's one of those stories that gets told in the Gospels, many different stories of people who are possessed with unclean spirits, or sometimes they're even referred to as demons. And that can be a little scary and confusing for us. Now, I know that in Jesus' day, those who wrote down the Gospels believed that these were demons, that these were evil spirits that took hold of a person. That was what the people in the synagogue believed that day, and perhaps what Jesus himself believed was going on. But here we are in the 21st century, and we sometimes take a different view of these things. We know a lot more about science and neuroscience and psychology, and we start looking at these episodes in a different way. And so we're tempted to read a story like this and ask, does this story have anything to do with us? Shouldn't we just move on to the next story and see what's there? What in the world does this kind of story have to do with us? Well, of course, I'm a preacher, so I believe that every sacred text has something to say to us. This is our Holy Scripture, and so God is always ready to reveal something to us when we sit down and open the Bible and read. So as I looked at the scripture this week, as we pored over it in Bible studies this week, there was one little phrase that caught my attention that made me begin to wonder how this story really has a lot to do with me and with us. This man who rises up in the synagogue is described as having an unclean spirit. Now, what if we were to think of an unclean spirit in a different way? Perhaps an unclean spirit might be an attitude or thoughts or a pattern of behavior that is not holy, that somehow is a barrier between us and God. Ooh, then it starts to have a lot to do with me. What if an unclean spirit is an attitude of resentment, an attitude of fear, We've been talking in Sally Honor's Wednesday night class about grievance, holding on to grievances. What if that is an unclean spirit within us? What if an unclean spirit is a sense of unworthiness that we carry around with us, that keeps us from accepting and believing that God really loves us and that we belong to God? Perhaps there are unclean spirits that plague all of us. It may take the form of an addiction or a depression or anger, attitude toward others, divisiveness. And as I read more deeply into this story, I began to wonder if it's not just unclean spirits that plague us as individuals, but what about those that might plague a group of people, a congregation? You see, this man stands up and he says, "I know who you are." But then he also says, "What have you to do with us? Have you come to destroy us?" And there are some scholars who read this story and think he's speaking on behalf of the congregation, that there is an unclean spirit plaguing the people in that synagogue. And the same thing can happen anywhere a congregation gathers. Perhaps there is an unclean spirit of divisiveness and conflict, an unclean spirit of fear, greed, bitterness. Those unclean spirits can plague us as a people, too. It made me think about a friend of mine who was sent to serve a rural church in an area that was very economically depressed. You know the story. It was one of those places in our country that had been a thriving community when the factories were all going, but the industry had shut down and pulled out, and the unemployment rate had shot up. Hospital had closed, the schools were failing, drug use was rising, there was anger and bitterness in the community, and when he got to that church, he sensed it in the church, this attitude of anger, and they were afraid that the bishop had sent him into that church to close it down because it was declining so quickly. But after a few months of being among those people in that congregation, he began to realize what was really plaguing them was a spirit of unworthiness and grief. They felt forsaken by their society, by their denomination, and even by God. And so he began to pray. And they started a Bible study and studying the scriptures together. And the word that kept rising up for him in his preaching and for them in their Bible study was this reminder of their belovedness, that they were a part of the body of God, that they were beloved by God just as they were, and that God had work for them to do. And slowly but surely, that unclean spirit of unworthiness and forsakenness was driven out of that congregation. Someone had the idea of doing a weekly potluck, just opening the doors of the church and anybody who wanted to bring a dish and eat. They could invite people in the community. You didn't have to bring a dish. Just show up and let's eat together. And gradually over time, that meal became a community meal that grew and grew and grew and was a sign of hope in that community. The Spirit of Christ had come in and driven out the unclean spirits and made them fresh and new again. That's really what this story is about. I think it's why Mark begins the ministry of Jesus with this story in the synagogue, to point to the power and authority that Jesus has to drive out every unclean spirit that plagues us. Whether it's anger and bitterness, grievance, depression, unworthiness, whatever those things are that take hold of us as individuals or as a congregation at times, it's not our fault. We don't always bring these things on ourselves. They just come upon us. But hear the good news this day, that Jesus the Christ has the power and the authority to drive out all of those things from us in our lives, in our congregation, and to make us whole and clean so that his love can flow through us to the community. So what are the things that might darken your spirit this day? Know that Jesus the Christ is in the house, and he has the power to make us all clean and whole. Thanks be to God. Each time we gather on Sunday morning, we have an opportunity to proclaim our faith in the power and authority of Christ. I invite you to stand as you're able and join with me in affirming that faith. Our affirmation is number 883. We are not alone. We live in God's world. We believe in God, who has created and is creating, who has come in Jesus, the Word made flesh, to reconcile and make new, who works in us and others by the Spirit. We trust in God. We are called to be the church, to celebrate God's presence, to love and serve others, to seek justice and resist evil, to proclaim Jesus crucified and risen, our judge and our hope, in life, in death, in life beyond death. God is with us. We are not alone. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We want to again thank the combined children's choirs from West End UMC and Belmont UMC for singing today. They're actually going to be going to Belmont to sing at a service not too long from now, so that's why our children's choirs are leaving now. So we wish them well, and we are excited for the gift that they will offer to that community of faith as well, just as it was offered to us. As we come to a time of prayer today, we lift up the joys and concerns of our congregation as an offering to our loving God. And if you have prayer requests that you would like to share, please fill out one of the gray cards that is located in the pew racks in front of you. Please indicate if you would like your prayer request to be shared or if they should remain confidential. And in a few moments, you may place those cards in the offering plates as they are passed down the pews. We have several deaths related to our family here at Weston UMC that we need to announce today. First, we offer our sympathy to the family of Catherine Burris Castleman, who passed away on Saturday, January 20th. Services were held at West End on Thursday, January 25th. We grieve as well with the family of Ann Neff on the passing of her father, Doyle Thomas. And services were held in Bethany, Missouri on January 20th. And we also offer our sympathy to a West End member and choir member, Fred Mund, whose brother Dave died this week in Wright City, Missouri. Services were held at Harvester Church of the Nazarene on Thursday, January 25th, and he was buried with full military honors. Now let us turn to our holy and living God and offer up both our spoken and silent prayers. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord of wisdom and authority, we come before you this morning in the humble awareness that we would rather live as if we rule the world. Grant us your grace that we might turn our hearts and minds back to you this day. Your teaching is astounding. Your power to change lives is unparalleled. We pray that your living presence would be among us this day. Hold us, shape us, and guide us, that we would trust in your goodness and mercy. Our ways are so often not your ways. We live in a world that prizes power over the other, violence as a means of peace, hoarding resources as a means of security, and recklessly consuming in the name of fulfillment. We pray for this world that gets so much backwards, and we pray that your truth would be our guide. Our lives are often filled with many hurts and sorrows. We remember all those who are oppressed, forgotten, and abandoned by systems designed to keep them down. We remember those in our midst who are struggling with sickness in body, mind, or spirit. We pray for ourselves and our own struggles. Lord Jesus, we pray to you, the one who has the power to cast out unclean spirits. Cleanse us of our collective and personal sinfulness. Bring healing and wholeness where there is hurt. Redeem us all that we may experience your righteousness and goodness. Spirit of life, hear these prayers and our personal petitions as we enter a time of silent prayer. Hear our prayers, O Lord, as we join our voices together in prayer as you taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As a people of God who receive many gifts, let us offer our gifts back to God.
time of worship together, we have been reminded that we are joined in heart, that we worship one who has the power to cleanse us and make us new, and has that same power to transform the world. Go and let us be doing his work and living in his peace.